Amen? If you're not amening already, then there's no hope for you this year. It's just not. We praise the Lord for what we remember today and celebrate today as Christians all around the earth today, as we celebrate the Father's gift of the Son, as Jesus Christ has come, born of the Virgin, lived a sinless life on this earth, whereas you and I have not. He willingly was arrested, falsely condemned, tortured, crucified, died as our substitute in our place, absorbed every drop of the wrath of God that I and you rightly deserve. And today, this is the message of good news that we sing and we preach and proclaim here at Crawford Baptist Church. And so if you're here this morning and you're struggling, if you're here this morning and you come to realize, you know, I'm lost, I need forgiveness, there's only one person who has ever been qualified to forgive you and give you forgiveness, and that's Jesus Christ. And He will do that today if you will call upon His name in faith and believe in Him. And so I want to encourage you this morning in that. Amen. And I want to pray one more time as we settle in and get ready to study God's Word together today. We're going to be looking in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 this morning. And let's just go ahead and read that, and then I will pray, and then we'll preach God's Word to us on this Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday morning. I don't know how you could just stay in your seat after the build-up and the crescendo of what we have experienced this morning in musical worship. And I'm grateful I get to stand up now and can move around a little bit. I couldn't stand much more in a seat. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we're going to pick up in verse 12 and read through verse 22 this morning. Now, if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain, and your faith is in vain. We're even found to be misrepresenting God, because we testified about God that He raised Christ, whom He did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we're of all people most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. Would you bow with me this morning one more time and let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we do bow before You. We humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God this morning as we celebrate the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, truly, Lord, every Sunday, every Lord's Day is the celebration of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. But on our calendar, the church around the world today looks to this Sunday as a special remembrance. And so, Father, thank You for all those who've come. We thank You for our guests. We thank You for members that aren't able to get up and out like they used to, but they make extra special effort and arrangements on Easter Sunday. Thank You for all those who are here. And Father, I pray that You would speak to us now through the proclamation of the truth of the Word of God. I pray, Lord, that You would help me preach as a dying man to a dying people. But, Lord, we have living hope if we look to Christ. And so, Lord, I pray that this morning God, that you would resurrect the spiritually dead in this room, grant regeneration and spiritual life, that people who didn't love God would leave this room loving him and surrendering their lives to him. And I pray that you'll build the faith of those of us who are believers in Christ this day as we study your holy word together. In the powerful, saving name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. 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 You know, Harry Houdini is a famous escape artist. He was born in Hungary, and his family moved to America in the late 1800s, in the 1880s. And he was known as, of course, a stuntsman, a magician, an escape artist. And he was known for having some pretty famous escapes. He escaped from inside a beer keg, a maximum security prison, inside canvas bags, chained up with chains and straitjackets around him. He could escape from those kinds of things. Some of his most famous escapes, and you can Google him, not right now if you would wait, but you can Google him, as I did earlier this morning, just again to kind of refresh on this. Some of his most famous escapes were from like oversized milk cans filled with water. And they would have him in there. In fact, there were some breweries in America that would design a keg, and they challenged him to be able to escape from inside their keg filled with beer. This is kind of Harry Houdini. He also was in there's a picture online of him in a Chinese water torture cell. He's upside down, chained, wrapped up, going down, submerged into the water. There's glass on the front side where the audience can see him as he's working his trickery to escape the Chinese water torture cell. Packing crates submerged underwater. On one occasion, I think it was in Santa Ana, California, he almost didn't make it. They had him buried 6 feet under the earth, no casket, but just down 6 feet under the earth, and he was going to escape from that, which he did do that, barely. He did have to have some medical attention after that one, but he did that same trick about two or three more times in other places a little more successfully. But he said that the weight of the earth was just something he had not expected. The weight of the earth was something he had not expected. But here's the thing. He escaped from maximum security prisons. He did these shows in Europe and in America. He escaped from inside beer kegs and packing crates as he's chained in there and put in straitjackets and underwater. But on October 31st, 1926, he was in New York to do a performance on that Halloween night. He'd been having pain in his lower stomach area, and there was a time when a man hit him, and what ended up happening was his appendix ruptured. And Harry Houdini died that night of October 31st, 1926. You see, death laid hold of Harry Houdini and was determined not to let him go. But Harry Houdini, being the showman that he was and the escape artist that he was, had told his wife while he was still alive that if there is a way out of death, I, Harry Houdini, will find it. And I will contact you on the 1 year anniversary of my death. If there's a way out of death, I will find it and I will contact you on the 1 year anniversary of my death. And so, on October 31st, 1927, Mrs. Houdini and family and friends, they had a candlelight vigil. And they gathered that night and they were expecting to be contacted in some way by her husband. But no communication of any sort came that night. Her faith was so strong in her husband's ability to escape that she maintained a candlelight vigil for 9 more years, for a total of 10 years. On the anniversary, on October 31st of his death, She had people gathered together with candlelights, and they were waiting to hear some kind of communication or contact from her departed husband. And after 10 years of waiting and having no contact or communication, Mrs. Houdini concluded, there must be no way out of death. There is no way out of death. Now, this morning, I want you to ponder a question for a moment. What if Mrs. Houdini is right? What if there is no way out of death? What if there is no life after death? What if there is no way through the valley of the shadow of death? What if there is no resurrection? How does that thought affect you? And the reality is, it does affect you. Because what we believe about God and what we believe about who we are as creations made in the image of God affects you and what you do and who you are. It affects how you view yourself, and it affects what you do in and through and with your life. And fortunately, God has given us a book, amen? And in this book that we call the Bible, the Apostle Paul actually addresses the issue, what if there be no resurrection? What if there be nothing after life on this earth? That's just the end. What if that be the case? In the verses that we have read already this morning, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 12 through 22, addresses this topic for us. And I want us to consider the words of the Apostle Paul this morning. Now, here's my big idea for this morning. Christianity rises or falls on the truthfulness of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Christianity rises or falls based on the truthfulness of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The virgin birth really means nothing if there is no resurrection. The sinless life that we see in the Scripture and we preach and teach to one another from the truth of Scripture means really nothing if there is no resurrection. The crucifixion means nothing if there is no resurrection. And so this is an important topic for us on this Resurrection Sunday morning for you and me to consider as we think through the issue of the resurrection of Jesus. And so I want to show you six things from this text as we move through this morning. Little bullet points, if you will, and then come back to Paul's thesis here, which is also our memory verse for the week, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 20. You see, if there is no resurrection of Jesus Christ, in other words, if Easter be not true, this is the name we've attached to this Sunday throughout the centuries now, but if Easter be not true, I want you to see, number one, preaching is pointless. Preaching is pointless. Look there in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Look in verse 12. Now, if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how, and the idea here is, how in the world can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. Verse 14. And if Christ has not been raised, now notice what Paul says, then our preaching is in vain. You see, if there be no Easter, then preaching is pointless. This is a waste of everybody's time. And now, from centuries and centuries, which has been a huge exercise in futility, if the Lord Jesus Christ has not truly been raised from the dead, there's nothing for us to preach if Jesus Christ is not raised from the dead. I mean, our song was not, we have a dead hope. We have no hope. That's the message of the world when you're able to see through the facade of its outer covering on its message, because the wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. You see, it is the message of Jesus. We have always said that the Bible is a hymn book, an H-I-M book. It is about Him from Genesis to Revelation. Jesus is the interpretive key that makes sense of the Bible. God is revealing Himself to us in this fallen, sinful Genesis 3 world by showing us the promise of the coming of Messiah, His Son, in human flesh. And He will be born of the virgin in Bethlehem. And He will live a sinless life. And He will teach with power. And He will heal many sorts of illnesses. He will raise the dead. And then He will willingly lay down His life for the sheep. No man's going to take my life. But I'm going to lay it down. And if I lay it down, I'll take it up again, He said. You see, if Easter be not true, beloved, preaching is pointless. It's just no need. Number two, if Easter be not true, back in verse 14, look at it. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain. You see where I get that point? Preaching is in vain. Notice this next part of verse 14. And your faith is in vain. It's empty. It's useless. It's worthless. Drop down to verse 17. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. It's of no effect. It is no good. You see, if Easter be not true, listen, faith is foolish. Who is going to put faith and trust in a dead man to give you life? Who would do that? No one in their right mind. Faith in a dead man is foolish, especially since Jesus claimed that He would be resurrected on the third day. If I lay my life down, I'm going to take it up again. He told His disciples on numerous occasions, the Son of Man, I'm going to Jerusalem. I'm going to be betrayed. I'm going to be condemned. I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to be buried. And by that time, I think their minds were somewhat numb because they never got this, and we wouldn't have either. But He told them, I'm going to be betrayed. I'm going to be falsely condemned. I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to be buried. Then I'm going to be raised again on the third day. We don't put our faith in a teacher who doesn't teach that which is truth, what lines up with reality. Or we shouldn't. A lot of people do. Today, right? They do. You hear all kinds of things on the internet and television programs and radio broadcast and everything else today. You can hear whatever you want to hear today, spiritually speaking, religiously speaking, and there are people who will write those checks and send those funds and all of these kind of things going on, funding false teaching around the world. It's one way I know the Bible is true, because God's Word says there's going to be false teaching in the last days. Some people say, well, why does God allow folk? Well, that's what He said it was going to be. That's what the sinful heart wants, to have their ears tickled, right, and to hear the message that they want to hear. Like some groups say there is no hell, so you don't have to worry about that. So they have a message, there is no hell. Bible says there is a hell. Bible says that we'll all stand before God and give an account of ourselves before the Lord Jesus on the day of judgment. And if we're not in Christ, then we're in Adam, all died, and Christ, all are made alive. We saw that in our text, 1 Corinthians 15, today. Listen, if Easter be not true, preaching is pointless. If Easter be not true, faith in a dead Savior is foolish. We don't do that. Number three, if Easter be not true, the disciples were deceivers. Look there in the text. In verse 15, look in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 15 and 16. The Apostle Paul writes this to the Corinthians there. He says, we, talking about the apostles now, we are even found to be misrepresenting God, because we testified about God that He raised Christ, whom He did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. So, if there is no resurrection, the disciples of Jesus were frauds. They were liars. They were deceivers. They're misrepresenting God because they're telling things that God has done, which apparently God didn't do if he didn't resurrect Jesus' dead corpse from the grave. If he's not back alive, like we just sang, Jesus Christ, our living hope, if that's not true, then the Bible is not true, and the disciples are deceivers. They're liars. They're frauds. And they deceive people about the things that matter the most. Because, you see, yes, we have our aches and pains, and we grow older day by day and year by year. And people in this room understand that better than some. But if we have life and live long enough, we'll all come to understand what I'm saying. We have aches and pains and hurts in our hearts and our souls that grieve over things that take place in our families and our situations and circumstances. But the greatest need everybody has is to be right with God. And the disciples were deliberately, intentionally proclaiming things they knew not to be true. If they're out and about saying that Jesus Christ was crucified, buried, and he's raised now in the newness of life, he has a resurrection body, and he's the living Savior, he's our living Lord. That's where they went everywhere preaching. Read through the book of Acts. Look at the preaching in the book of Acts, and the resurrection is front and center in the message of the apostles. Christian preaching is preaching that is anchored and centered and is focused. The bullseye is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But you see, if there be no resurrection of Jesus, then preaching is pointless and your faith is foolish. And the disciples were deceivers. They were frauds. They lied. But you know, history records these disciples' lives, and there have been people who've studied this and written books on this, and you can go and you can look and find this research online, how that the disciples, the apostles of Jesus, they died. They were martyred for the belief that Jesus Christ is Lord. They were martyred for the belief that Jesus Christ did die on a cross for sinners, was buried in a borrowed tomb, then was resurrected on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, just like it says there in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 and 4. And then he appeared to Cephas and the others. They believe. We have stories in history outside of the Bible that from India into the Middle East, into North Africa, and into Europe, there were apostles who were preaching that Jesus Christ died, was buried, and was resurrected, and that he could not be stopped. And so therefore they had boldness and courage in the face of opposition, and they could not be stopped. You see, a lot of people will live for a lie, but very few people going to knowingly die for a lie. But these apostles sealed their witness with their life. Number four, if Easter be not true, sin is sovereign. In verse 17 of our text, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 17. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. But also notice this part. And you are still in your sins. And you are still in your... No longer... How many times you've been baptized? How many church services you've gone, how much money you've given to the church or good causes, you've been a good neighbor, State Farm subscriber and a good neighbor, you've been all that all these years, you're doing some good, decent things, you're a good, decent, moral person. You know, if Easter be not true, then sin is sovereign. No resurrection of Jesus Christ means no Savior. No resurrection means no forgiveness for our sins. The crucifixion without the resurrection saves no one. If Jesus Christ was not resurrected, your sin has not been atoned. The things that we have sung, and not just things, these are truths, precious truths that we have sung this morning, that our worship choir has led us in singing this morning. I mean, my heart was racing. My soul was being cleansed and renewed and strengthened as we sang together about the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. and you see so critically important for me and for you and for my family and for you and your family and for your teammates and classmates and neighbors and co-workers and for the people that are in your circles of influence is the sin problem. For we all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. None is righteous, no, not one. No one understands. No one seeks after God on their own. This is all black ink on white paper in a sacred book we call the Bible. The wages of sin is death. The soul that sins, it will surely die. There is no remedy for my sin and your sin or the sin of this world apart from what God has given us in Jesus Christ. For the sinner who dies and goes to hell and suffers through all eternity, gnashing and wailing, you know, all of that, the gnashing of the teeth and the moaning and the wailing, all those things. It just keeps going on and on and on and on because they can never fully pay off their sin debt against God. See, that's what Jesus did in a finite period of time because he is truly man, yes, but also truly infinite God in the same body. Now, we can't explain that, but I believe it. Because I believe the Bible. Amen? All right? But you see here, if Easter be not true, then there has been no sacrifice for our sin yet. And the truth of the matter is, and we can read from Genesis to Revelation, we have to have someone. We've got to have, as we've been studying through the book of Exodus, we've seen, we've got to have the mediator. Right? There is one God, and there is one man who can represent us, right? There is one God, and there's one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave his life as a ransom for all, 1 Timothy 2, 5, and 6. Brothers and sisters, friends, and we must have our sin atoned. It needs to be expiated. It needs to be washed away. It needs to be cleansed from our being. It needs to be propitiated. It needs to be satisfied because we have sinned against God and he has a righteous hatred and wrath toward sin. And that's where we are until we are in, we are hostile to God, the Bible says. We are enemies of God as sinners against God. This is not a comfortable place for you to be. Some people say, you know, I went to church, I wasn't comfortable. That's exactly where some people need to be, is uncomfortable. In fact, honestly, whenever one of the brothers preaches, like Brother Pastor Jared at our Good Friday service, I mean, there's a time when I get uncomfortable. Y'all know why that is? I'll tell y'all a secret. See, I haven't arrived yet. I still have some selfish thoughts every now and again. I'm kind of stuck on myself. See, Pam's testifying right there. I really love me. I'm supposed to esteem the needs of other people as more important than my own. I don't do that perfectly. There's only one who's ever done that. Only one who's ever kept the Ten Commandments perfectly. It's not anybody in this room. It's not anyone on this planet right now. 8 billion plus people. You see, sin, though, is sovereign in our lives. If Easter be not true, you are still in your sins, and it is our sins which separate between us and our God. Isaiah 59:2, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. Isaiah 59:2. The wages of sin is death. The word death literally means separation. The separation of the soul from the body. Yes, that's physical death. The separation of the soul and the person from an intimate relationship with God. Spiritual death. The second death, the separation of the person from God's love and grace and mercy. Oh, now, again, we covered this last week, I believe. Yes, in the sermon last week on the Passover and the crucifixion. Because I had a brother comment about this, been wondering about it. When I said, you know, Satan's not in charge of hell. God is in charge of hell. God is in charge. He's sovereign. He's over all of it. But you see, we have a sin problem. And the urgent care can't take care of that. And the ER can't take care of that. And no other religion in the world can take care of it. They're going to tell you, you got to pick yourself up by your bootstraps. You got to try harder. You got to do this and do this and do this. I mean, you cannot cuss, smoke, or chew, or go with girls who do if you want to be right with God. You need to go to church. You need to honor this religious teaching. You need to give this money, build this mosque, give money to help build this cathedral in Rome. You need to do this. You need to do that. And what does the Bible say? Pastor Jared preached it Friday night. Tetelestai, John 19:30. It is finished. It is paid in full. The debt that was owed was fully paid by Jesus. And when we say fully paid, means we didn't give a penny toward it. He footed the entire sin debt that you and I have. And now, for everyone who will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. This is the message. And so if Easter be not true, preaching is pointless. Faith is foolish. The disciples were deceivers, and sin is sovereign. I want you to see number five. If Easter be not true, death has dominion. Look at verse 18. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. Look at that again, verse 18. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. This is what we mean when we say, if Easter be not true, death has dominion. We'll never see our loved ones again. Now, that's not what we believe. I'm standing right here looking at you. We've had a busy season in recent weeks. Five funerals in about a matter of 3.5 weeks, about a month ago. And I stand here and I preach Sunday by Sunday, and I see you. And I feel you. You see, this is not a show. We are family. And as we have said many times from this sacred desk, we are not designed or intended to go through the struggles of this life by ourselves. And that's why in this church we walk together through the valley of the shadow of death and whatever else may come our way. And you are not alone. You are not alone. You are not alone. You are not alone in this journey. There are brothers and sisters. I have heard that from these precious ladies right in here over and over in these recent weeks. I just don't know what I would do if it weren't for my church family. You see, the truth that we believe, in fact, the Bible teaches the truth, is that we will see our loved ones again. I understand, yes, atheism, what can they give you? Nothing. Any worldview that exists has to account for the afterlife, but then many will deny the existence or reality of the afterlife. But yet the problem is they just can't really eradicate that. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 11 says, God has put eternity into our hearts. And if you're sitting here in this room and you're created in the image of God, and by the way, if you're sitting here in a chair in this room and you're not a mannequin, you are. If you're a human being, you're created in the image of God. And a part of being created in the image of God is that you just know some things. And one thing is you know that this world is not the end. Everybody knows that. And in Romans 1, we find in that great passage how the Apostle Paul says that we all know. Even the ungodly and the unrighteous know the truth that God exists. They've seen it through His eternal power in the creation, but they are suppressing the truth in unrighteousness. This is why when we engage people evangelistically, apologetically, lovingly, speaking the truth in love, we don't have a plan B. We still speak to them, hey, God is your creator. We're made in His image, and we're responsible creatures for our decisions, and we all have chosen sin, and so therefore we're under the judgment of God. But God loves you, and He has sent His Son, Jesus Christ, as the Savior for sinners, and you qualify, and I qualify, and we all qualify. And so listen, believe in Christ, turn from your sin, trust in Jesus Christ. Trust Him. We don't have a plan B if you're in Brazil. We don't have a plan C if you're in China. A plan J if you're in Japan. No, again, the gospel is powerful in its sufficiency because it saves us from the wrath of God and from our own sin. And the gospel is powerful in its universality because there's only one gospel for all the peoples of this earth. The gospel is powerful in its simplicity because He says, believe in what I'm declaring I've done through Jesus Christ. The gospel is powerful. But you see, back to verse 18. If there be no Easter, if there is no resurrection from the dead, then death has dominion. We'll never see our loved ones again. They're gone. But here's the thing. The Bible. This is so important, y'all. We got to learn some biblical truth because that's what we have for life in a Genesis 3 world. All right. And 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 says, for example, they were dealing with the same question like in Thessaloniki. Or Thessalonica, then Thessaloniki today. But the question was, you know, Bertha and Susie and John and Bubba, they were saved, but they died. And the Lord hadn't come yet. Now, we believe He's coming. I mean, every end of every chapter in 1 Thessalonians, there's a reference to the coming of Christ. And we believe that, but what about those who died before He came back? Are we going to see them again? Well, Paul says, yes, the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, right? With the voice of the archangel, the trumpet of God's going to sound, right? And the dead in Christ will be raised first, and then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the air to be with the Lord. And so we shall ever be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. What I'm saying to you is this, that our worldview, the Christian worldview, the teaching of the Holy Bible says, hey, we will see our loved ones again. Death does not have dominion if the resurrection be true. And we sing and we preach and we affirm and we live life on the basis of hope in the resurrection. That's why, and so many of you in this room know this, that when I leave your hospital room, or the bed in your home, that hospital bed set up there, or the nursing home, or the hospice center, or wherever it might be. When I leave and I look at you, I'm going to say, I will see you again. Because you know why I say that? Because I mean it. Because I'm in Christ, and if you are in Christ, It means based on Scripture. It means on the basis of Scripture. But I'll see you again. We've been born again into the family of God. And we're going to have, you know, heaven is not just floating on clouds and eternal choir practice. There's going to come a day when the third heaven is coming down to a renewed earth, and we're going to work. And we're going to play. And my team's going to win every game. But there's a new world coming, brothers and sisters. But hey, if Easter be not true, sin is sovereign. We're still in our sins of lying and pride and selfishness and perversity and all the things that we see in our world today. And hey, we don't have to watch the news and get disgusted. Just ask for God to reveal your own heart to yourself. And you should be more than disgusted. There have been things in recent weeks, news stories about this group promoting this and this dude doing this and these people hitting this athlete and just all these things. School shooting in Nashville, the tornadoes in all these other states slightly north of us and all those things. And it just kind of makes you kind of sick. But if we could have the access to see the depravity in our own heart, we would be sicker over that than all those things put together. You see, if Easter be not true, death has dominion. The last one here is number six. If Easter be not true, the future is fearful. The future is fearful. I remember when I heard Dr. Adrian Rogers preach this basic outline. I have tweaked it and adjusted it today based upon a poem. I didn't know it was a poem until recently, but... He said, if Easter be not true, the future is fearful. We have no hope if it's not in Jesus. If Jesus is still dead, there is no hope. There is no true meaning to reality. And people should pity us for believing such a made-up, happily ever after kind of story. That's what Paul says there in verse 19. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. Now, we are not a pie-in-the-sky kind of folk here. But I'm going to tell you what, I have said this so many times in my 15 years here at Crawford Baptist Church. These truths keep me sane. It's not easy walking into the ICU or the funeral home or the nursing home or the hospice house. I'm going to tell you what, that affects you when you go, and it affects me when I go. And what I'm called to do, I get to go more than you. Because if you're there, then one of us pastors is going to be there. And there'll be deacons coming by to see you. And pastors. And it wears on you in a way, but it wears on us in a way. You see, we're in it together. We're in it together. But hey, so if all we got is like, you know, if this is our best life now, that's not the message of the Bible. That best life is coming when Jesus comes again. And so look in verse 20. In our conclusion, Paul says, But in fact, Christ has been, past tense, raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, and it did, by a man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. In other words, listen, when we're born into this world, and I've heard my mother-in-law say this, all right, Pam hears from her three times a day. And it's nearly the exact conversation each time, three times a day. But I've heard her say over and over, we're born dying. And in a sense, we are. For as in Adam, all die. We all, when you come into this world, we are under the condemnation of God because we're born into this world as sinners and we sin. And there's no exception. But there's a ramp off that broad road. There's a ramp off the broad road onto the narrow road of eternal life. That's why God sent Jesus. You see, if Easter be not true, preaching is pointless. Faith is foolish. The disciples were deceivers. Sin is still sovereign. Death has dominion. We live, we die, and we're gone. Death has dominion. The future is fearful or nothingness, but we fear it. But you see, brothers and sisters, the resurrection of Jesus, in fact, did happen. And there are many reasons, and that was not my aim in the message this morning to go into. But when you look at it, the biblical description of his crucifixion, resurrection, the fact of eyewitnesses seeing him, touching him, hearing him, eating with him. We see the day of worship of the church change from the seventh day of the week to the first day of the week. That's a huge thing for the Jewish people, those Jewish Christians, followers of the way. That was a big deal for them to shift that day of worship that had been instituted so long ago, even going all the way back to Genesis 2, 1 through 3, in that Sabbath there at the creation. I mean, there are a lot of good evidences and reasons for you and me to believe in the historicity of the Bible and of the Lord Jesus Christ and of the crucifixion and resurrection. And so the resurrection, listen, of Jesus changes everything. What it does, it flips all those points I gave you this morning. See, preaching is powerful. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18 says that the word of the cross, the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to those who are being saved, it is the power of God. There is a power in the word of God. It's inherent in the gospel. And so when we preach it, and when you community group teachers teach it in your community group time on Sunday mornings, and when we have our Entrust Institute for our men and our ladies book club for our women, and we're teaching the truths of Scripture, there's power in the Word of God. There's power in the gospel. And no one is beyond being saved until they're dead. We must not give up on our children and our grandchildren, and our co-workers, and our classmates, and our team. We must not, because listen, preaching is powerful. Listen, faith is fortifying. Faith comes through hearing, hearing through the word of the cross, Romans 10, 17. It fortifies us. It strengthens us. After worshiping musically, you know, it's like, I remember Dr. Rogers said one time, I have people at Bellevue Baptist Church, they would storm hell with a water pistol. Faith is fortifying. Don't let this day of worship, this hour and a half or so today, don't let it go to waste. Don't waste your Easter. When we leave this room in a few moments, we ought to be ready with those water pistols loaded with gospel juice, ready to go and tell people the good news of Jesus. Because there's hope for the prideful, and there's hope for everybody else, and you fill in the blank. There's hope for people today. See, preaching is powerful. Faith is fortifying. The disciples were dependable. They gave their lives preaching the message of Jesus and the resurrection and the promise of forgiveness of sins. No matter what you, I mean, think about Saul who became Paul, right? He had a brother put to death. He said, I'm a blasphemer. The penalty for blasphemy is death, stoning, right, in the Jewish law. He was forgiven, restored, and used by God. The disciples were dependable. Sin has been satisfied. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Trust Him today. Turn from sin. Cast yourselves upon the mercy of God. Death has been defeated. Glory. Hallelujah. Again, I'm going with the Bible, y'all. I will see you again. If you're in Christ, I'm in Christ. I will see you again on a new earth one day. I will. And our future in Christ is fabulous. And here's the thing. One day you will be face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will give an account of your life before Him. And so, brothers and sisters, I want you to consider the claims of the gospel. The gospel is the good news that the just and gracious God of the universe looked upon hopelessly sinful people. And he sent his only Son, Jesus Christ, God in human flesh, to bear his wrath against sin on the cross and to show his power over sin in the resurrection, so that everyone who will turn from their sin, that's repentance, and believe in him, that's faith, will be reconciled to God forever. As Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I'm an ambassador for Christ. Would you be reconciled to God? Turn from sin and self. Cry out to him. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Call upon the name of the Lord. For everyone who will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. This morning, we in the Christian church, we say, he is not here, for he is risen. And you see, the resurrection was the Father's amen to the Son's, it is finished. What I mean by that is this, and we're going to respond to the gospel. What I mean is this, is that if Jesus, as the Lamb of God, who is to take away the sin of the world, had not actually, through his death, satisfied the wrath of God. What that means is, when the ladies went to anoint a dead corpse on Sunday morning, it would have still been in the tomb. Are you tracking with me? You see, the way we know what he hollered out from the cross in one of those seven sayings from the cross to Tetelestai, paid in full, is the Father accepted the payment. Our sins can be wiped away, and the wrath that you rightly deserve will be taken by Jesus, so you don't have to. That's the good news of the day of resurrection. But I will say this as we get ready to pray and respond through a song. And this morning, if you have any prayer concern or desire to speak with the pastor, we'll be have some of us up here at the front. We'll be happy to speak to you here in the lobby later on. But listen, don't put off things. If the Spirit of God's dealing with you, we invite you to respond and come for prayer today. But you see, this one who's been resurrected, not only is he going to say welcome to those who've trusted him, he's going to be the one who judges those who have not. The Pharisees couldn't stand him, and the Pharisees couldn't stop him. They couldn't kill him. We listened to S.M. Lockridge on the way in this morning, our family truckster. That's my king. He's alive. Are you ready to meet him? Or do you need to be ready?